Chapter 13.
Inger let out a small squeak and tried to fly away, but the dwarf was quick,
and he flicked his whip so it wrapped around her body. She landed on the ground with a hard thud, and she screamed and threw her head back and forth to try and get out.
Asta gasped next to me, and I reached over and grabbed her hand to steady her. He wasn't actually harming her, not yet, but if we gave away our presence, that might change.
"Ah, come here,"
the dwarf grumbled as he walked over and picked Inger up off the ground.
He inspected her carefully and then looked at the adult dragons.
"What you have over there?"
"It's a baby,"
the first dwarf said, and he walked over to where the others were gathering by the forge. The short male had long salt and pepper hair and a huge beard to match, and he held Inger out to show the others as if she were a piece of metal for them to inspect. Inger continued to struggle against them, but I knew that would only make things worse, so I quickly shut my eyes and tapped into her body. Then I opened my eyes and saw the dwarves staring back at me. Because she was so small, the magical creatures seemed much larger than they were, and up close I could see their wrinkled skin, spotted with small burns from working with fire all day. Their teeth were yellowed and stained, and their breath smelled of sulfur and cabbage. I had to admit, it was a terrifying sight, but she needed to remain calm in order to stay alive. I wasn't sure if she'd be able to feel the emotion I was giving off for her, but I took several deep breaths and tried to send her a calming energy to help her relax. The dwarves were devious little creatures, and I didn't trust them not to harm her if she disobeyed them. I blinked back into my own body, and when I looked at Inger again, I noticed she was significantly calmer than she was before. She still flinched when they poked her face or leaned down toward her, but she no longer struggled to get away.
"Where did she come from?"
an orange-haired dwarf asked as he looked at her.
"Oh, one of the females must have laid an egg. I didn't see any eggs around here."
"Another dragon to work for us."
The dwarf who found her shrugged.
"Yeah, but now we've got to train it,"
the orange-haired dwarf snarled.
"We can worry about that later,"
the first dwarf rolled his eyes.
"She's still small.
Right now, we need to finish up these weapons for the king."
"Yeah, we're going as fast as we can,"
the dark-haired one grumbled.
I gritted my teeth at his comment.
The dwarves weren't doing anything. The dragons were doing all the work. The dwarves were just abusing them to get them to work faster. While the dwarves looked over Inger and talked about where she came from and what to do with her, my little dragons used that chance to speak with the adults, and I watched as Svas, Blar, and Ufe flew from dragon to dragon, whispering in their ears before moving on to the next.
"How close are you to removing the chains?"
I asked Kaas.
"Just a few more minutes,"
the sorceress whispered, and she wiped sweat from her brow.
Suddenly a weight was lifted off me, and I took a deep breath and looked around in confusion for a moment before I was able to put my finger on it. The sadness and terror had disappeared from the dragons, and it was now replaced with determination and anger. I got the sense the dragons didn't allow themselves to be angry, especially when there was nothing they could do about it. Now, though, they knew they were about to fight back, and they were ready.
Dragons weren't inherently violent, but when one was mad enough, it was a force to be reckoned with, and the feeling I got from these was all that and more. These dragons were ready to take down their masters. I smiled and looked back over to where the dwarves had Inger to make sure she was all right. The dwarves shoved her into a small cage and walked over to a large wooden table that housed blueprints for all of their weapons and other designs. I tuned in to Inger's emotions, but she was perfectly fine. The little dragon knew we were aware of her situation, and she knew we weren't going to leave her there. She was upset, but she was remaining calm, and I had to commend her on being so brave. It wasn't her fault she'd gotten caught, but she was making the most of it, and the distraction her capture had caused was enough for us to move the plan along quickly.
"Oh, Kaas, hurry!"
Asta whispered, and I could sense how upset she was that Inger was in the dwarves' custody.
"Almost done,"
Kaas replied with a strain in her voice. Suddenly, magic red sparkles covered the chains that kept all the dragons at bay, and with a loud clanking sound, they all fell to the ground.
"What's going on? The dragons are loose!"
Stay there!
The salt and pepper-haired dwarf yelled at the dragon, and he pulled his whip out and walked toward it. I nodded to the girls, but they were all lined up behind me, ready to go, and the baby dragons were all spread out with the adults, too. Then I pulled my sword from its sheath and hopped onto the boulder we'd been hiding behind. Several of the dwarves noticed me, and they started to yell, but I didn't pay any attention to them. Instead, I looked at the dragons who were staring at me, and I let out a war cry and raised my sword into the air. The large green male raised his head toward the sky and opened his mouth so a terrible roar filled the valley, and for the first time I suspected the dwarves were actually scared. Several of them stopped in their tracks and gaped at the massive beasts, while a few others started to back away and look around in a panic for a place to run. They'd been in control of the massive creatures for so long, they seemed to have forgotten how powerful the dragons really were. But now the dragons were loose, and the dwarves were about to be reminded just how much destruction the majestic creatures could cause when they wanted to. The other dragons roared along with the green one, and then they turned to the dwarves and let out huge blasts of fire right at them. The blue female dragon stomped toward the dwarves as they tried to run away, and I could vaguely see Blar on her back. The little dragon bounced up and down with excitement and let out tiny roars of his own as he cheered on the adults. The dwarves were terrified at this point, though a couple tried to use their whips. One even stopped and turned toward the blue female.
"Halt!"
he hollered, and he whipped the magical piece of leather at her.
"I command you to halt!"
The blue female didn't use her fire. Instead, she simply took a step forward and planted her front paw on him. He tried to run, but she was too quick, and soon enough he was squished down into the ground. When she lifted her paw, there was no blood, but the dwarf was flattened like a pancake. Then the female continued on the warpath, and the dwarves scurried away, screaming little high-pitched screams that made me smile. It was incredibly satisfying to see them be so terrified after I'd felt the incredible fear and pain they'd inflicted on these dragons.
"Rat!"
Ira yelled and pointed to our right.
"There!"
The dragons appeared to have everything under control for the most part, but Ira pointed to several dwarves who were attempting to sneak away. The dragons were focused on the rest of the small creatures, so I nodded to Ira, and she and I sprinted across the valley toward the arseholes. There were four of them headed out of the valley, and I noticed a small door about 100 yards away nestled into the side of the mountain. Now, that had to be their home, or at the very least an escape route, and we couldn't let them get over to it. Ira and I were fast, and our legs were longer, so we quickly ran in front of the dwarves and skidded to a halt as we blocked their exit with our bodies.
"Ah!"
A small orange-haired dwarf screamed, and he ran forward and slid under my legs.
"Ah, damn it!"
I growled, and I turned around and chased after the little creature. His friend was right behind him, though, and he pulled his sword and sliced at my legs in an attempt to help the first dwarf get away. I reared my sword back and sliced at the little creature, but he was quick and tiny, and he hopped high into the air to avoid my blade. Then he leapt up toward me with his sword out, and he let out a little war cry as he did so. If we hadn't been in the heat of battle, I almost would have thought he was cute. Before he could get to me, I yanked my blade upward and sliced right through his body. My sword went straight up between his legs and through his torso and split his head in two. Blood splatter landed on my chest and face, but I didn't have time to worry about that right then. I turned to the other dwarf, who had stopped and was staring in horror at his dead friend. I gritted my teeth as I looked at him, and his eyes widened as he realized he was my next target.
"Ah!"
he squealed, and he jumped slightly before he flipped around and started to run toward the door on the side of the mountain.
"Oh, not today, you don't!"
I growled as I ran after him. Suddenly, Blah dove down from out of nowhere and grabbed the dwarf by the back of his shirt, and the little magic creature screamed and kicked his feet as Blah lifted him into the air. I smiled and readied myself, and after a second, Blah dropped the dwarf right in front of me. Before the dwarf hit the ground, I swung my sword in a wide arc. The little dwarf's bright green eyes met mine just before my sword made contact with his side and cut straight through him. His head and torso went in one direction, and the bottom half of his body went in another.
Good job!
I chuckled as Blah landed on my shoulders, and the pieces of the dwarf landed on the ground. I spun round to see Ira still chasing one of the dwarves. This one was quick, and it was avoiding all of her strikes and trying to match them with his own little sword. Ira was having none of it, though, and as I watched, she lifted her foot up high, and then brought it down on top of the bastard and pinned him to the ground. The orange-haired dwarf was feisty, and he tried to claw his way out from under Ira's foot.
Seriously?
The redhead sighed, and she looked up at the sky with exasperation before she shifted her blade in her hand and stabbed it through the back of the dwarf's neck. The little dwarf's head came off his body and halted his efforts to squeeze out from under her. Before I'd gotten involved with the dragon trade, I thought dwarves were simply blacksmiths who made incredible weaponry. This was true to some degree, considering my sword, as well as Asta and Kars's weapons, had come from a very nice dwarf who made them free of charge, after Kars and Asta had enchanted some steel for him. That was only one dwarf out of many, though, and I'd come to see the small beings as far more evil than I originally thought possible. When something was so tiny, it was easy to be fooled into thinking it was also safe, but that wasn't the case. Perhaps them being so small made them bitter, because all the other races were so much larger. I was sure that wasn't true for all dwarves, but it was at least true for the few who involved themselves with the dragon trade, and whatever other questionable businesses they chose to be a part of. It was a shame, because they really were quite cute. Once the dwarves were all dead, Ira and I made our way back over to the boulder where we'd been hiding before, and we found Kars and Asta still there. They stood behind the large rock with Inga, Ufe, and Svas, and everyone looked out to the huge open area that was now splattered with bits and pieces of dwarf bodies. The forge had been broken apart, too, and the entire valley seemed to be very close to being on fire. The adult dragons were still searching for any dwarves who might have tried to get away, and I stood with my women and waited patiently for the dragons to come to us. They were on a rampage, and I wasn't about to try and pull them away before they were ready. This was their first taste of freedom in perhaps centuries, and they could take as long as they wanted. Besides, in their destruction, they'd managed to take out the weapons for the Elf King, too. After a few moments, the large green dragon walked over to us and looked at us with his piercing green eyes. Then he lowered his head slightly, and I could sense his gratitude.
What's he saying?
Well, I can't hear him. Not in the sense we think of hearing someone, at least.
I thought you could communicate with them.
Ira's red eyebrows pulled together. No, I shook my head. I can sense his feelings, though, and he's feeling intense gratitude at the moment.
I'm just happy he's free now.
Kars smiled softly.
Yes.
Asta nodded and looked up at the huge green beast.
Now you can return to your home in Alfheim. The dragons in the valley will help you.
The green dragon shook his head, and I knew right away he didn't want to go back to Alfheim. I don't think he wants to go there.
Why not?
Asta asked, and her yellow eyes glistened with sadness.
Isn't that where he comes from? Yes, he looks like the dragons of Alfheim.
He does.
I think he was originally from there. I explained, but I pursed my lips. Well, I'm not sure why he doesn't want to go back, though. The green dragon huffed and lowered his head down toward me. Then he closed his eyes and held his head out.
What's he doing? It looks like he wants Rat to touch him.
He does. I nodded and reached my hand out to place it on the dragon's forehead. Suddenly I could no longer see out of my own eyes. My mind was in the dragon's, but not where he was right then. I was in his memories, and events and feelings flashed by quickly as I saw through his green eyes. I saw him and several of the other dragons here in Alfheim. They traveled from realm to realm together, until they finally settled down in the mountains of Svartalheim. This was before Vinra, so they had no reason not to trust the dwarves, and the little creatures had taken advantage of that fact and tricked them into slavery. The dwarves made a deal with the dragons to help them with the outdoor forge, but once the dragons were busy adding fire to the forge for them, the dwarves locked the chains around their necks and beat them into submission. They were filled with pain and anger then, but they were free now, and what they really wanted was to go back to their cave and live their lives together once more. They are from Alfheim, but they used to travel all around the Nine Realms until they decided to stay in the mountains of Svartalheim to lay their eggs.
Oh, no.
Kaas frowned.
Are some of these other dragons their children?
No. I shook my head. They never got that far. The dwarves tricked them into slavery before they were able to start a family. The blue female walked up to the green male and placed her head against his, and I was able to see through her memories as well. Her partner tried to protect her, but the dwarves were ruthless, and whenever he tried to free her, they'd beat both of them far worse than usual. So eventually, he stopped trying because he couldn't bear to cause her more pain.
So they live here?
Asta asked with a wide gesture at the huge creatures.
All of them?
Yes. They chose this as their home, and they want to stay.
Are you sure?
Kaas asked the great dragons, and she chewed on her lower lip in concern.
Wouldn't you like to go somewhere without such bad memories?
Asta frowned. The dragon huffed and shook his head, and I gently pulled my hand off his forehead and looked in his bright green eyes. No. He wants to stay here. They want to stay where they chose to make their home.
Wait. If they used to roam from realm to realm, they must be hundreds of years old.
I believe so. I smiled softly.
Wow.
Her red eyebrows shot up to her hairline.
How long have they been trapped here?
A long time. Before Vinra, I think.
That long?
Yes. I nodded. At least these two have. I don't believe they've all been here that long.
How awful.
Asta sighed, and her shoulders drooped sadly. The green dragon let out a small huff and held his head up higher in the air.
What's he saying?
I don't think he wants our pity. He's happy to be free, and he appreciates our help, but there are still other dragons to free. He's thinking about them. He feels like they need our pity more than he does.
He's probably right.
Ira smiled.
How selfless of him. We've only eliminated some dwarves here today. There are still others out there who might try to capture them.
Right. I agreed, and I looked at the huge dragons in front of me. If you must stay here, please be careful. The dragon nodded his head slightly, and my heart skipped a beat as I was suddenly overwhelmed by how massive he truly was. Since I could communicate with the dragons, sometimes I was more focused on that than their size. But he was larger than my home, and practically even larger than my courtyard. His huge head dwarfed me in comparison, and I couldn't help but smile as I thought about how he was finally free again. "Before you go, is there anything we can do for you?" I asked. The great dragon lowered his head, and a sense of deep sadness came over him. Then he slowly turned to the side and lifted his wing for us to see. He had yet to open it since we'd seen him, so at first I didn't understand what was happening. But as soon as his wing was extended, my heart sank into my stomach. The webbing between the bony parts of his wings had been clipped. It was completely removed, and in its place were terrible scars that sent a shiver down my spine just to look at.
What's wrong with his wings? The dwarves must have cut them. What does that mean?
It means they can't fly.